We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in turn on the news, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in turn on the news each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
Then I just, there's good news.
These are dangerous times.
The open, unabashed rise of anti-Semitism.
The Anti-Defamation League found that the number of anti-Semitic incidents hit a record high in 2021, a 34% increase from the previous year.
Over the weekend, a hate group hung a banner over a busy Los Angeles freeway in support of Kanye West, who lost his agent and his lawyer after a bizarre descent into anti-Semitic hate on social media, including declaring, quote, Death Con 3 against Jewish people. The group's sign said, Kanye is right about the Jews. And the group added to the hate flourish by flashing the one-armed Nazi salute.
And in Jacksonville, the city's mayor is also condemning a number of anti-Semitic messages recently seen across the city. It follows controversial remarks made by rapper Kanye West. The message could be seen during the Georgia-Florida game day celebrations, and it was projected at the stadium reading, quote, Kanye is right about the Jews.
It all echoes Donald Trump's long history with anti-Semitic tropes, something that we saw emerge again earlier this month, when he posted on his bootleg Twitter variant that Jews in the United States must get their act together and show more appreciation for the state of Israel before it's too late.
Before I start tonight, I just wanted to read a brief statement that I prepared. I denounce anti-Semitism in all its forms. And I stand with my friends in the Jewish community.
Jon Stewart, not great to see a lot of sort of updrafting of some, you know, casual anti-Semitism or some sort of old kind of Kabbalistic conspiracy theories out there.
The Jews,
and you were like,
Jews are. So there was the Kanye situation, and then obviously the Kyrie situation. And after the Kyrie situation, Kyrie Irving on Twitter was trending the Jews. It was just the words the Jews trending on Twitter.
Yeah.
And so it was bittersweet. Because it's always nice to trend on Twitter. I mean, that...
It's never bad.
Never bad, but it's never... I knew that if I checked it, it wasn't going to be like, the Jews bought everyone ice cream. Like, I knew it wasn't going to be...
Yes. The Jews, ABC's new hit sitcom.
That's right. But because it was Kyrie and it was about the Nets, the Jews was trending under sports, which, for us... Nice.
It's a win.
Never happened before.
Yeah. Sandy Koufax and then this.
Sandy Koufax, then it was like 50 years, and then this trended. It's, look, I'm, you know, as our spokes Jew, and we hear you, the people out there, and we know, you know, the power and control that the Jews have collectively, because that's how we wield it.
Sure. It's all unanimous decision.
Correct. I'm not on all the committees, but And I don't know who ended Kanye's Adidas deal. That wasn't my committee. I'm on oil prices and bagel flavors. I do bagel flavors. By the way, and I say this to all you out there who enjoy bagels, Blueberry was a rogue committee. That was not us. I don't know where that came from. Mm-hmm. But in terms of controlling, obviously, the world, sorry. It's my hope in my lifetime, and we hear this, but it is my sincere hope that in my lifetime I do get to see a Christian president. I hope that... I hope that just... I think America's ready for it. To see a president stand up and swear in, maybe on, and I say this with no regret, on a Bible. Jews have controlled it for too long. And so it would be our honor to allow you one four-year term. Just, it's really fascinating. The, you know, first of all, the Kanye thing, I think everybody, he can be erratic and he says things, and that didn't surprise me. The Kyrie thing surprised me a bit. You don't expect to get it from someone named Irving. Really thought he was one of ours.
Well, no, you're very generous. You're very generous, I gotta say.
Thank you. And there's a lot everybody wants to say now. Now, everybody obviously calls me and says, like, did you see Dave on SNL? And I'm like, yes, we're very good friends. I always watch and send nice texts. He normalized anti-Semitism with the monologue. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't know if you've been on comment sections on most news articles, but it's pretty normal. Like, anti-Semitism, I mean, as you know, it's incredibly normal. But the one thing I will say is, I don't believe that censorship and penalties are the way to end anti-Semitism or to not gain understanding. I don't believe in that. And I think it's the wrong way for us to approach it. Kyrie Irving, they suspended him from playing basketball. If you want to punish this man, send him to the Knicks. I think that would be... Because I look at it like this. Anti-Semitic? Perhaps. But he can create his own shot. And that's what we're looking for. No, but in all seriousness, you know, penalizing somebody for having a thought, I don't think is the way to change their minds or gain understanding. This is a grown-ass man. And the idea that you would say to him, we're going to put you in a timeout. You have to sit in the corner and stare at the wall until you no longer believe that the Jews control the international banking system. Like, we have to get past this in the country, the ability to... Look, people think this. People think Jews control Hollywood. People think Jews control the banks, and to pretend that they don't and to not deal with it in a straightforward manner, we will never gain any kind of understanding with each other.
Well, what do you imagine a more straightforward manner would be? Because people have the right to say whatever they want. I've said that, you know, also any comic has a right to say anything
sure.
they want, and they'll probably find an audience for that. Mm-hmm. And that's been borne out the last few years.
Right.
But so what is the response? What is the response? So, because people have the right to have a negative reaction to what people say on stage. I've gotten it a million times. You've gotten it a million times.
Sure, absolutely.
So what do you imagine a response is to something, if people perceive anti-Semitism in someone's... what Kyrie Irving posts,
right.
or what Kanye says, or what Dave said on Saturday night, what do you think a good response
would be? First of all,
be?
I think just reflexively naming things anti-Semitism is as reductive as some of the things that they might be saying. It immediately shuts down a conversation.
I would say that people said that they perceived a promulgation of, even if with a comedic intention, a promulgation of anti-Semitic tropes. That doesn't mean the person is an anti-Semite.
Comedy is reductive. And I think part of what it is we play with tropes because everyone has prejudice in their lives and in the way that they view things. And comics rely on those prejudices as a shorthand for our material. Even the wokest of comics plays with tropes to a certain extent. But my point is, the most interesting thing to come out of this, in my mind, was something Kanye said on his tour that he was doing after he said that, and then he got interviewed by five, you know, different people, because the media model is arson and conflict. He said something fascinating in my mind. He said, hurt people hurt people. And if the point of all this is then to heal people, the only way to heal a wound is to open it up and cleanse it. And that stings. That hurts. But you have to expose it to air. And I'm afraid that the general tenor of conversation in this country is cover it up, bury it, put it to the outskirts, and don't deal with it. And what I would say is, you know, look at it from a black perspective. It's a culture that feels that its wealth has been extracted by different groups, whites, Jews, things. Whether it's true or not isn't the issue. That's the feeling in that community. And if you don't understand that that's where it's coming from, then you can't deal with it. And you can't sit down with them and explain that being in an industry isn't the same as having a nefarious and controlling interest in that industry and intention, right? And that's been the anti-Semitic trope. But you need to be able to meet people from what their community is feeling as well.
So in terms of dealing with it, as I said before, the way you might be able to deal with it is to say, okay, let me try and understand why you feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
Let me try to deconstruct
with
facts why that is not the case.
That's right. But if you can't do that, if you're not allowed to say it, you know, Dave said something in the SNL monologue that I thought was instructive as well, which he says it shouldn't be this hard to talk about things. And that is what we're talking about. Look, I can't pretend that there aren't a ton of people in this country and this world who believe that the Jews have an unreasonable amount of control over the systems, and they wield it as puppet masters. I'm called anti-Semitic because I'm against Israel's treatment of Palestinians. I'm called other things from other people based on other opinions that I have. But those shut down debate, they're used as a cudgel. And whether it be comedy or discussion or anything else, if we don't have the wherewithal to meet each other with what's reality, then how do we move forward is my question. I don't enjoy it. Don't get me wrong. You know, when people I admire, whose music I like or things like that, come out and say, how many of you are in show? But, you know, here's the deal. We have our own tropes, like a white person's success is because of privilege. A minority's success is empowerment. A Jew's success, that's a conspiracy. You feel that. I feel that. But I have to be able to express that to people. If I can't say that's bull and explain why, then where do we go? And if we all just shut it down, then we retreat to our little corners of misinformation and it metastasizes. And the whole point of all this is to not let it metastasize and to get it out in the air and talk about it. Like I know you don't like Jews. I see it in your eyes.
Really just one of you.
Bette Midler? No, I mean, the other side of it is, you know, look, if you don't want us around, write your own Broadway shows.
Well, John.
Does that make sense? I know you disagree with this.
You know what, John? I don't disagree with you.
Really?
As I said to
you. Are you Stephen Colbert?
Yes. I don't...
With the blue check system that Elon Musk has, I don't know who's who anymore.
I don't disagree with you, John. I just wanted to say, that I condemn anti-Semitism in all of its forms, and I stand with all of my friends in the Jewish community.
He's so calm and sure of everything. He doesn't have any tensions in him. He knows what he believes and what he thinks is right and why and where he's going. But, Mom, there's something else that I must tell you that John's been concerned about, very deeply concerned. He's been worrying for the past week whether you and Dad would be upset if... Well, it's about time.
I'm so pleased to meet you.
Pleased to meet you. Hope you guessed my name. But what's puzzling you is the nature of my game.
Our festively yam-colored former president had a busy holiday week.
Donald, you're making me crazy, Trump. Ever since Donald Trump announced that he would be running for election in 2024, many have been wondering, will this finally be the moment when he becomes presidential? Well, judging by his recent dinner party with Kanye West, the computer says no.
Former President Donald Trump is facing fierce criticism tonight, even from his own allies, for having dinner at his Mar-a-Lago estate with controversial musician Kanye West and white supremacist Nick Fuentes.
A meeting of the mindless at Mar-a-Lago.
If you're not familiar, Fuentes is this high-profile figure on the far right, a Holocaust denier, but he's best known for running the America First organization, which, according to the ADL, quote, seeks to forge a white nationalist alternative to the mainstream GOP.
Fuentes is not a good guy. He has spread anti-Semitic conspiracies, is considered a white supremacist by the Anti-Defamation League, attended the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville in 2017, and the Stop the Steal rally on January 6th. That is the alt-right EGOT. As in, he got zero hugs as a child.
Trump seemed taken with this Holocaust denier, according to one report. He said after the fact, trying to have it both ways, that he doesn't even know him, but he hasn't announced anything that Fuentes has said in public. Another advisor said the whole thing became an effing nightmare, and Trump is worried that if he did just denounce this, it might antagonize his devoted base. One of the groups that fights against hate, the ADL, denounces Fuentes as a known bigot. Here he is briefly in his own words.
We've got the white Christian men that built this country the first time, and we'll do it again. You think you can replace us? You're wrong. We will replace you.
I want this country to have Catholic media, Catholic Hollywood, Catholic government. I want this to be a Catholic-occupied government, not a Jewish-occupied government.
Once again, just for all of you, January 6th was awesome.
You know, they say about America, they say, diversity is our strength.
How precisely is diversity our strength?
You got to recognize the fact that this is a godless country. I hate it.
You're right. They're godless. That is exactly right. I never talk like that, but it's true.
Black people are violent, you know?
They have chaos and violence in their communities.
Send the military into these black neighborhoods, make the streets safe. They'll complain about it. It doesn't matter.
We should send in the troops if necessary to restore order.
Well, not with the Jim Crow stuff. Who cares? Oh, and to drink out of a different water fountain. Big deal.
Oh, the legacy of Jim Crow. That was 67 years ago. It is ancient history now.
Russia. Can we give a round of applause for Russia?
And why shouldn't I root for Russia? Because I am.
The fundamentals of our worldview, a society where boys and girls get married as teenagers and start having kids.
We need these ladies to get married. And it's time to fall in love and just settle down, guys. Go put a ring on it.
And they have big families and a high birth rate.
We have to do something to increase our birth rate, or the vacuum that's created will be filled by people that don't believe in our values.
We live in a big Middle Eastern bazaar. We're a big Middle Eastern bazaar with people sitting on blankets and selling cockroaches on sticks.
We have a moral obligation to admit the world's poor, they tell us, even if it makes our own country poorer and dirtier and more divided.
And white people are done being bullied.
Discriminating against and denigrating, just denigrating white people.
Trump's got to get in there and never leave. Elect Trump one more time and then stop having elections.
President for life, that sounds good. Maybe we're gonna have to try it.
President for life.
According to Kanye, Trump was very impressed by his white power pal. Apparently, he told Trump, the guy said, I prefer it when your speeches are off the cuff rather than on prompter. And then Trump turned to Kanye and said, he gets me. Which, you're not that hard to get. We all get you. You're like HPV, okay? Only a matter of time. But just to recap, Kanye West went to Mar-a-Lago to have dinner with Donald Trump, which sounds like the beginning of a joke. And as his plus one, he brought a well-known white supremacist slash Holocaust denier. And Trump claims he didn't know about that. And if he didn't know, which is worse, having the guy over for dinner or having no idea you're letting a racist random into a house that was until very recently full of unguarded top secret documents?
As somebody who's had the privilege of meeting with former presidents, they know who's coming to dinner. You don't get to just drag along some rando. There's extensive background checks. I'm pretty sure Barack Obama's team has a Blu-ray of my colonoscopy.
And this, Trump is the guy who claims Joe Biden is slipping, sitting down with the Ku Klux Kanye sharing a chocolate souffle. That's hard to say, by the way. And this Nick Fuentes, thank you. Nick Fuentes, I never heard of the guy, but he's a 24-year-old virgin who is one of those very fine people on both sides. And that wasn't a joke. In Charlottesville. He's one of these great replacement theory guys who says Jews and other minorities are trying to wipe out white culture. He's an election denier. He's an anti-vaxxer. He's all the bad things. But I think this, more than anything, sums this gentleman up.
What, people calling me gay because I've never had a girlfriend? I think if anything, it makes me less gay. Never having a girlfriend, never having sex with a woman, really makes you more heterosexual. Because honestly, dating women is gay. Having sex with women is gay. And having sex with men is gay. And you know, it's all gay.
Fuentes made a statement today saying Trump didn't know who he was and he didn't mean to bring any negative attention. Look, you know it's a bad sign when Kanye is only the third most controversial person at your dinner table, okay?
I can't imagine having dinner with someone so disgusting. And you have no idea which of those three guys I'm talking about.
Even for Donald Trump, this was outrageous.
Okay, first of all, this whole story sounds like the setup to one of those jokes that your uncle tells you at dinner, you know? Like, okay, so a racist billionaire, an anti-Semitic rapper, and a white supremacist walk into a bar. And then what happens? Hold on, the black waiter's coming. Hold, a Diet Coke, please. Thank you. Thank you. Secondly, why do journalists still act surprised when Donald Trump does Donald Trump stuff? Huh? Even for Donald Trump, this is... What do you mean, even for Donald Trump? Is Donald Trump doing Donald Trump? Trump having dinner with Nazis is not outrageous. If he had dinner with vegetables, that would be outrageous. That would be crazy. What? Yeah, and he was spelling words. What? But because of this dinner, Trump has taken a lot of flack from all sides. And so, in classic Trump style, he sends out a few posts about why, as per usual, he isn't to blame for anything that he did.
And you know this one was bad because Trump posted not one, but three messages on his imaginary social media site.
But Mr. Trump tried distancing himself, posting on social media that West called me to have dinner, expressed no anti-Semitism, and claimed, I didn't know Nick Fuentes.
Yeah, in Trump's defense. I mean, how would he know that the guy Kanye rolls with could be a white supremacist? I mean, I get what he's saying. He's like, I just wanted to have dinner with this anti-Semite. I didn't know he was going to bring a friend.
Only Donald Trump would defend himself by saying, I was only planning to eat with one anti-Semite, okay?
That's like a husband saying, sweetheart, it's all a big misunderstanding. I was only supposed to be sharing that hotel room with my yoga teacher. She brought your sister.
Because I love how Trump tries to immunize himself by saying, Kanye expressed no anti-Semitism at the dinner. And then what? I'm also sure he didn't rap at the dinner, but you still know that he's a rapper. Now, you might be wondering, if Kanye didn't want to talk anti-Semitism at the dinner table, what did he want to talk about? Well, apparently, he was trying to convince Trump to not run for president, but not in the way you think.
The dinner was not completely amiable. Trump became angry when West asked the 2024 presidential candidate to serve as running mate for West's own newly announced presidential bid.
Ye posting this video to Twitter titled Mar-a-Lago Debrief, explaining he asked if Trump would be his vice presidential running mate at the dinner.
I think the thing that Trump was most perturbed about, me asking him to be my vice president. But then he goes on to say that Kim is a you could tell her I said that. And I was thinking, like, that's the mother of my children. Trump started basically screaming at me at the table, telling me I was going to lose. I mean, has that ever worked for anyone in history?
You're going to lose. Tell him he's going to lose. Tell
me. I'm like, well, hold on, Trump. You're talking to Ye.
Okay. The fact that Trump got so mad at Kanye just shows you, like, where his priorities are. Right? He has no problem hosting a guy who wants to go DEFCON 3 on the Jews or the Holocaust denier that he brought to dinner with him, who he got along with. But if you ever suggest he should be number 2 on someone's ticket, Trump will be like, you disgust me, sir. Talk like that has no place in America. We don't talk like that in this country.
You asked him to be your vice president? How would that even work? Can you send a mob to hang yourself? Find my neck. Find my neck.
Oh, and I get where Trump is coming from. Kanye is asking Trump to be his Mike Pence. And Trump is probably like, ew, I could never be Mike Pence. I have sex with my eyes open.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.